Harry and the Pirates. Chongqing, China. A hotel room, a Chinese general. He sits in a chair, his eyes fastened on the muzzle of a gun in the steady hand of the beautiful Burma. Crouched in another chair is little April King. That's the scene that awaits us in today's transcribed adventure. So stand by for action. Harry and the Pirates is brought to you by the makers of Libby's Pineapple Juice, one of Libby's 100 famous foods. By this time, boys and girls, probably somebody in your gang has got his periscope. A shiny red and black periscope like the one Terry uses in the show. If so, you've seen what a really tricky affair it is. How you can see around corners with it and find out what's going on behind you without turning your head. And you've discovered, too, that this swell periscope has lots and lots of special features. Why, it tells you how to use two exciting secret codes and how to flash secret code messages to your friends at night. I'll bet you've got a big laugh out of that amazing picture of Big Stoop, too. And say, did you try those two new games you can play with it? Well, if you have seen this periscope, and I sure hope you have, you'll be itching to know how you can get one for yourself. And that's what I'm going to tell you now. It's plenty easy. Every single one of you kids listening in can get a periscope for your very own. Now, here's all you do. Get one label from a can of Libby's tomato juice and one from Libby's pineapple juice. You know, those grand juices I've been telling you about on the show. Why, gosh, more than likely your mother's got some in the house right now. Well, you get those two Libby labels, and on the back of one, print your full name and address and give your age. Then put the two labels in an envelope along with 10 cents and mail it to Terry in care of Libby's, Chicago, Illinois. I'll give you the address again. It's Terry in care of Libby's in Chicago. Libby's is spelled L-I-B-B-Y-S. So that's all you do to get a Terry scope. It's just mail one dime and two Libby's labels, and boy, oh boy, will you get a big, wonderful dime's worth. A periscope exactly like the one you've been hearing so much about in the show. One you can look over tall fences with and use to play G-Man and submarine. A periscope with 8 extra special features, including brand new exciting games and the identical Chinese code that Terry taught to Connie and Big Stu. Well, I guess anybody'd be keen to get a periscope like that. So, send for yours right away. Check up on those Libby's labels right after the show. One from Libby's tomato juice and one from Libby's pineapple juice. If they're not in the pantry or in the icebox, ask Mother if you can't run over to the store and get them. And then take off the labels, print your name, age, and address on one, and mail them along with 10 cents. The address you send them to is Terry, in care of Libby's, Chicago, Illinois. And now, Terry and the Pirates. Chongqing, China. Terry Lee and Pat Ryan arrived in a car they had taken from Mr. Keel, one of the Dragon Lady's men. At the airport, they met Jude Hennick, who was rushing to a nearby hotel because he felt that Burma and April King were in danger. So Pat took charge of the precious radio transmitter, which they had recovered from the Dragon Lady, while Terry and Jude swung into action. Using the periscope from the roof of the hotel, they were able to see into the room. They saw Burma holding a gun on a man in an officer's uniform. A few minutes later, Jude phoned the room.
Hey, that's funny.
No answer?
No. It's the right room number, room 611. Why don't we just look through the window of that room not more than 5 minutes ago from the roof?
Now there's no answer. Come on, dude. This is the time for action. Let's go and see what's happening in that room.
Oh, wait. There's a couple of lads loafing in the hall outside April and Burma's room. We'll have to trick them away from the door first.
But what could have happened in 5 minutes, dude? We saw both girls, and Burma was pointing a gun at that Chinese officer.
Well, they can't have left the room, Terry. They must still be there.
Then when you just called on the phone from this room, why didn't someone answer?
Beth, I don't know. Now, look. We'll have to get those lads away from outside the door. And we'll have to get them clear out of the way. Here's what we'd better do, Terry. Then we can enter Burma's room and find out...
Yes, Burma pointed a short, ugly-looking weapon at General Chang and told him to sit in the chair and behave. But why didn't she answer the telephone when Jude Hennick called room 611? Well, let's find out right now. It's a few minutes before the phone call. Let's go to room 611 in time to hear Burma say...
Just sit quietly. We'll wait here until Mr. Hennick comes.
You will not shoot me, madam.
I'll change your mind about that if you so much as wiggle that mustache.
To kill a general is very safe.
Yeah, for the general.
April?
Yes, Grandma?
Move your chair closer to the hall door. Climb up and take a look over the transom. See what you can see out in the hall, huh?
All right. I wish I had that telescope now. It would come in handy. I can't see anything.
You sure?
Well, nothing but a shadow of somebody a little farther down the hall. Looks like the shadow of a man. Just standing there.
Oh, friend of yours, General?
I have warned you, madame. I come here on serious business. And you have
now, look, General. You said you'd talk to Mr. Dude Hennig, and he told you to come up here and get that valuable radio transmitter. Well, Dude knows we haven't got it. You never talked to him. You're a phony for my money, and if I'm wrong, I'll apologize.
Can I stand up here on the chair and look out in the hall anymore? Oh, dear. I wish this was over.
That will be very simple, madam. Give me that gun, and give me the radio device, and we'll have no more trouble.
There we are.
Give me that gun.
Don't get out of that chair. I warn you.
You will not dare to shoot.
Stay back. Stay away from me.
You will not shoot me or I...
All right, you ask for trouble. Oh! Ow! Oh. Ow!
Now, I hate to twist your pretty wrist, but the gun is not becoming in the hand of a beautiful woman.
Let me go! Let me go!
You stay right here and remain quiet. Both of you. Now then, how are you going to deliver the small radio into my hand?
That is a mixture of fate and be done with it. You know, General, you're a crook. I bet the dragon lady put you up to this.
There's no time to discuss the things. Now then, we waste time.
Oh, there's the phone. I've got to answer it.
Stay where you are. Nobody will answer the phone. We have other things to do. Give me the radio transmitter, and you shall not be harmed. I promise you, they will.
And that is how it happened that when Jude Hennig phoned Brummer and April's room, there was no answer. So now let's join Jude and Terry as they stand at the stairway leading up to the sixth floor. Jude says,
"Now look, Terry. I have a room directly across the hall from room 611, from where April and Brummer are."
"Yeah."
"Okay. We know there's two fellows hanging around up there in the hall. Must be pals of the chap who's in there with the girl."
"Okay, but what do we do?"
"I'm telling you that. You're a pretty high school lad, but I'm going to tell you you're scared. What have I got in the dark here?"
"Oh, I'm supposed to be hurt, huh?"
"That's right. I hope this stunt will work. It does, we'll clear the hall and have no trouble with anybody but the man in room 611.
"Okay, lift me up. How are you going to carry her like this?"
"Hey, you're a pretty husky lad. Those packed full of vitamins, huh?"
"Go easy, dude. If you fall back down these steps, I'll have all the vitamins knocked out of
them." "Well, here we go. Remember, you've been injured, and I'm trying to get you into my room."
"Have it?" "Got it."
"Those birds up there will only fall for this trick."
"Yeah.
All I want them to do is lend a hand to get the door open, and then when we get them inside..."
"Yeah."
"Well, now for the big push. Near the girl's room. Steady now." "Say, buddy, you lend me a hand to this guy?"
"Yeah, what's the matter with him?"
"I don't know yet. Looks pretty bad. One of you guys help me. I want to get him into this room. I'm all in from lugging him upstairs."
"Yeah, sure. Now, Gilly, come here. This guy's hurt."
"Yeah, he's my buddy. He got in a jam in the street."
"Where's your key? I'll unlock your door."
"Here it is. Thanks. Sorry to make any trouble, but..."
"Okay, okay. You shouldn't be in the hall right now anyway."
"Well, I know. Help me with this bird. It's like a ton of bricks."
"I'm helping. Slide him down."
"Easy now. Give me an arm while I get him across to the bed."
"You better stay in your room, bud, for a while."
"Sure we will."
"Hey. Hey, what is it?"
"You lads are going to stay in here for a while, see? Tell me."
"Now, wait a minute. Hold on."
"You listen and listen hard. You boys stay in this room."
"Hey, that's how he's hurt."
"I'll shoot right through the pocket of this coat if you open your mouth. Tell
me." "Yeah, dude?"
"Search these two and be quick. There must be arms."
"Yeah. There they are. Each one has a gun."
"Good. One for you and one for me. All right. Go on, get out in the hall." "Oh, yeah. Before I forget, I'll yank those phone wires loose just so they can't call for help."
"Hey, what's this all about? Who are you guys? What's..."
"I'll tell you later, but you and your pal be quiet or I'll come back here and..." "Shut the door." "Good enough. Now, let's move across to the girl's room and see if..."
"Well, what do we do? Knock or what?"
"No, look. You knock and say you have a message for April King. That ought to get some kind of an answer."
"Okay, but golly, my heart's beating like a punching bag. Well, here it goes."
Who is it?
"Message from Miss April King."
"Here it goes."
Turn up your reach.
Not this time.
Turn up your reach.
Hey, get his guns, Harry. Get his guns.
You guys know that. Don't let him wait for me, Joe. Wait, I'll get him.
Well, April, sure ended this battle in a hurry.
Hey, whoever taught you to tap people on the head with the handle of a gun?
Oh, dear. Did I do it wrong?
You were wonderful, dear.
Hey, shut the door, Terry.
Yeah.
The shop side of this gent may bring some people up here.
Now, what is all this?
Well, first, Mr. Hennig, take a look at that unconscious gentleman. Do you know him?
No. Never saw him before in my life. Why?
I thought so. This gent said he was General Chang.
Well, he isn't. I know General Chang very well. He's the army man who wants to buy the radio transmitter.
Oh, dear. Everything is so mixed up.
Oh, no, it isn't. This man must be one of the Dragon Lady's gang.
Yeah, and so are the two men locked in the room across the hall.
He came here and wanted to buy the invention. Then he got tough, and I made him sit still.
Oh, but he grabbed the gun and made us be quiet.
Oh, and when I called her on the phone a few minutes ago, that's why you couldn't answer, huh?
That's right. Well, now what?
Jack Torrey, what are you doing in Chungking?
Pat and I just got in. He's outside waiting for us. He's got the transmitter with him.
What happened? I mean, how did you get here with Drew?
Later, April, later. This is no time for easy conversations.
Yeah, we better move out of here, huh?
Yeah, but what about this fake general and those two men in the hall in the other room?
Yeah, let's forget them. They'll be found sooner or later.
But where are we going? Oh, dear. Looks like every way we turn, the Dragon Lady gets in our way.
Well, we'll get out of here, find Pat Ryan, and we'll all fly to the secret headquarters of the Chinese Army near the Kunlun Mountains. We'll see the real General Chang and get rid of that portable radio transmitter. It's getting too hot to handle.
You said it.
Yes, that's the wisest move, to get rid of the invention and thus get through with any more trouble with the woman bandit leader. Ah, but that's easier said than done. I'll explain what I mean in just a moment. Gosh, Ted, that periscope sure means a lot to our friends in the show, doesn't it? And believe you me, your periscope will mean a lot to you. You know, yours will do every single thing that Terry's does. It has to because it was modeled after Terry's in every detail. The only difference is that the one you'll get is a brand new, clean-looking one. It's decorated with pictures of Terry and Pat and Burma and Connie and an extra special picture of Big Soup. And don't forget those secret codes and exciting new games that you can't get anyplace else in the world except on the Terryscope. You know, it's really amazing that you can get a Terryscope like this for only 10 cents in cash. The only reason you can is that Libby has made it possible. You need a couple of Libby's labels, too, of course. One from Libby's tomato juice and one from Libby's pineapple juice. Print your name and address on the back of one label and give your age. Then mail the two labels and 10 cents to Terry, in care of Libby's, Chicago, Illinois. And it won't be long until you get the thrill of a lifetime. Your periscope will come, and boy, will you have fun. Send for it right away. You hear that? That's Jude Hennig's American-made plane. And it's flying over the invaders' lines and trying to dodge a barrage of anti-aircraft fire. And our friends are in it. That's only part of the big thrill awaiting you on tomorrow's Transcribed Adventure. So stand by for the nation's number one action show of the year.